Yasya
whose
Ambhasi
in the water
Shayanasya
lying down
Yoganidram
sleeping in meditation
Vidhanvataha
ministering
Nabi
navel
Rida
Radha
out of the lake.
Out of the lake.
Ambuja.
Ambuja.
From the lotus.
From the lotus.
Asit.
Asit.
Was manifested.
Was manifested.
Brahma.
Brahma.
The grandfather of the living beings.
The grandfather of the living beings.
Vishva.
Vishva.
The universe.
The universe.
Vidam.
Vidam.
The engineers.
The engineers.
Pati.
Pati.
Master.
Master.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Part of Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem, and from the lotus flower atop the stem, Rama, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. Please repeat, a part of the Purusha.
A part of the Purusha.
Lies down within the water of the universe.
Lies down within the water of the universe.
From the navel lake of his body.
From the navel lake of his body.
Sprouts a lotus stem.
Sprouts a lotus stem.
And from the lotus flower atop the stem.
And from the lotus flower atop the stem.
Rama, the master of all engineers in the universe.
Rama, the master of all engineers in the universe.
Becomes manifest.
Becomes manifest.
Purport. The first Purusha is the Karna Dakshaya Vishnu. From his skin holes, innumerable universes have sprung up. In each and every universe, the Purusha enters as the Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu. He is lying within the half of the universe, which is full of the water of his body. And from the navel of Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, has sprung the stem of the lotus flower, the birthplace of Brahma, who is the father of all living beings and the master of all the demigod engineers engaged in the perfect design and working of the universal order. Within the stem of the lotus flower, there are 14 divisions of planetary systems, and the earthly planets are situated in the middle. Upwards, there are other better planetary systems, and the topmost system is called Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Downward from the earthly planetary system, there are 7 lower planetary systems inhabited by the Asuras and similar other materialistic living beings. From Garbha Dakshaya Vishnu, there is an expansion of the Shira Dakshaya Vishnu, who is the collective Paramatma of all living beings. He is called Hari, and from him all incarnations within the universe are expanded. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Purusha avatar is manifested in 3 features. First, the Karma Dakshaya, who creates aggregate material ingredients in the Mahatattva. Second, the Garbha Dakshaya, who enters in each and every universe. And third, the Shira Dakshaya Vishnu, who is the Paramatma of every material object, organic or inorganic. One who knows these 3 features of the personality of Godhead knows Godhead properly, and thus the knower becomes freed of the material conditions of birth, death, old age, and disease, as it will be confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. In this sloka, the subject matter of Mahavishnu is summarized. The Mahavishnu lies down in some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will. Thus he lies in the ocean of Karna, from where he glances over his material nature, and the Mahatattva is at once created. Thus electrified by the power of the Lord, material nature at once creates innumerable universes, just as in due course a tree decorates itself with innumerable grown fruits. The seed of the tree is sown by the cultivator, and the tree or creeper in due course becomes manifest with so many fruits. Nothing can take place without a cause. The Karna ocean is therefore called the causal ocean. Karna means causal. We should not foolishly accept the atheistic theory of creation. The description of the atheist is given in the Bhagavad Gita. The atheist does not believe in the creator, but he cannot give a good theory to explain the creation. Material nature has no power to create without the power of the Purusha, just as a Prakriti. A woman cannot produce a child without the connection of a Purusha or a man. The Purusha impregnates and the Prakriti delivers. We should not expect milk from the fleshy bags of the neck of a goat, although they both look like breastly nipples. Similarly, we should not expect any creative power from the material ingredients. We must believe in the power of the Purusha impregnates Prakriti or nature. Because the Lord wished to lie down in meditation, the material energy created innumerable universes at once. In each of them the Lord lay down, and thus all the planets and the different paraphernalia were created at once by the will of the Lord. The Lord has unlimited potencies, and he can act as he likes by perfect planning, although personally he has nothing to do. No one is greater than or equal to him. That is the verdict of the Vedas. Yasyam vasi shayanasya yogan nidram vitanvataha nabhi radham bujarase brahma vishva srijampati. Part of the Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem, and from the lotus flower atop the stem, Brahma, master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasatunde Vekoravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatya De Sitara Etasya Karyam Karnam Chavidite Etas Samastya Vyadikas Prajishyate Parashya Shaktir Vividai Vishriyate Svabhavaki Jnana Balakriya Cha. It is said, etasya karyam karnam cha vidite. Supreme Lord has nothing to do. Etasya karyam karnam cha vidite. Etasamasya vyadikascha drishyate. Nor is anyone equal to or greater than he is. Parashya shakti vividaiva shriyate. He has unlimited, innumerable different kinds of energies. Svabhavaki jnana bala kriya cha. And he displays them by his one after another. So bhavaki jnana bala kriya cha, knowledge, strength, and will. That's the explanation of the Vedic literature, that there is a person behind the universe. The atheists say, asatyam apratishtam te jagato varanishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kemanyakam ahayduke kam. They say that the world is unreal, it has no foundation, it has no God in control, it is produced of sex desire, and has no cause other than lust. So this is very unscientific, because we find that whenever there's, if we can see in the universe any kind of order and organization, the natural conclusion is that there is an organizer behind the universe. If all the planets are moving their orbits exactly on time, then we'd expect that there's someone who's arranged that, just like if we have a watch. It's understood that the watch did not become a watch by itself. There must be a manufacturer of the watch. And the more accurate the watch tells time, the more expert we take the watchmaker to be. In America, they sell Mickey Mouse watches. But we wouldn't expect the Mickey Mouse watch to be as good as the most perfect Swiss watch. a Rolls Royce, Rolex or something like that. Therefore, we find that there are different degrees of perfection in organization and management, and the most perfect must be the most intelligent. If we see that the sun rises exactly at an appointed time, and the sun sets at exactly the appointed time, we must assume there must be a very intelligent organizer behind this creation with a lot of power. Or as Brahma said, we never see in Brahma Samhita that Brahma says, actually no one really knows what's going on, but I'm just guessing. It could be this way, it could be that way, who knows? You choose. He says that by Krishna's grace, has that start that Kala Chakra, Brahmati, Samrita Kala Chakra, that by Krishna's energy, all the different, yes, Yachaksha Esha Savita Sakala Grahana Raja Samasta Suramurta Shesha Teja Yasya Gaya Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakra Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So he says, Yachaksha Esha Savita Sakala Grahana, that the king of all the planets is the sun planet. We notice that if there was no sun planet in the universe, it would be very cold. That the source of all heat and also light in the universe comes from the sun. But the sun is very, very powerful, and therefore it's considered to be the eye of the Supreme Lord. According to the scientists, the amount of heat and light that the sun is generating in one moment is more than all the energy that the entire human civilization or civilizations have used since history. But although the sun is so powerful, still it arises exactly on time every day. In India or in other places too, it sometimes takes a very powerful animal such as a bull and they tie it its nose with a rope, or they tie a rope through its nose, and then they attach that rope to a pole. And the bull walks around in a circle, dragging a very heavy weight behind him, and that way he crushes grains as he walks around in the circle. But although the bull is so powerful that it can pull this heavy weight, a weight so heavy that it would take 10, 15 men to push, still the bull cannot move one inch beyond its designated area because it's attached by a rope. Similarly, although the sun is so powerful that if the sun moved one fraction of an inch closer to the earth, it is said that the whole earth would become superheated. You would not have to use your oven to cook your bread. You simply put it out in the street and it automatically gets cooked along with everyone else. And if the sun moved a little away from the earth, everything would become a big refrigerator. You walk down the street, everyone would look like they're a big ice cream cone. But no, every day the sun rises at its appointed time. The sun sets its appointed time exactly in its orbit without any deviation. Of course, we are so. The question is, if the bull is so powerful, if the sun is so powerful, the natural question is, who has kept this sun in its orbit? So the answer is, Yasya Brahmati Samrita Kala Chakra. That is Govinda who's maintaining the powerful sun in its orbit. Therefore, Govinda must be much more powerful than the sun to keep it in its orbit. Indeed, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he's the light in the sun and the moon. Aditya Namaham Dishnor, Jyoti Rasaham Asnakondiya, Prabhasi, Shasi, Surya. He's the light in the sun and the moon. These are the energies of Krishna, and as he says, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Sattvam, Srimad Vortitam Evava, Tattav Evava Gachatvam, Amato Changsa Sambhavam. But what is their need for all this? No, they're all glorious, mighty, and beautiful creations, spring from but a spark of my splendor. Sometimes people become doubtful how a boy of 7 years old can lift a hill like Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill, which even today, although it's claimed that Govardhan Hill is gradually sinking every day by one sesame seed, which is not very much, but over many thousands of years, it becomes significant. So when Krishna is here, it is said that the Govardhan Hill was much larger. Sometimes it is said, maybe proverbially, that the sun god in his going around the universe, his horses would sometimes stop at the top of Govardhan Hill and eat the grass on the top there. So that was quite a big hill. But that may only be to illustrate how big it was. In any case, if I was one of the horses on the chariot of the sun god, I would like to stop on Govardhan Hill and eat grass there too. Maybe they made a special stop. But Krishna, he lifted the Govardhan Hill with his left hand, not only his left hand, but only in his left pinky, and he held it there for 7 days and seven nights. If we try to lift a book with our little pinky, we'd get a strained little pinky. We'd be in the emergency room very quickly. And even if we could lift a very small pamphlet with our little finger, our left little finger, to hold it there for more than 5 minutes would be very difficult. Even to balance it would be very difficult for us. So conceive of lifting up a big mountain like Govardhan Hill, made out of solid rocks, so many kilometers, takes 5 hours to walk around Govardhan Hill. So first of all, if we could lift it up, we'd have a very sore thumb very rapidly. And then if we could balance it, it would be difficult, but what to speak of 7 days and seven nights without taking any water, any food, no rest. It would be very dangerous for us to lift up Govardhan Hill with our little pinky and try to maintain it. But Krishna did it, historically speaking, and people doubt it. Oh, this is just mythology. A little boy, 7 years old, lifting up a hill. But if he's God, why is it so hard to believe? If he's maintaining huge planets in their orbit, lifting them, unlimited planets throughout the universe, lifting them and maintaining them in their orbits, keeping them in their orbits. So lifting one little hill called Govardhan would not be very great for him. It's an insignificant display of his potency. But even that display of potency, many envious people simply claim that it's mythology. Therefore Krishna says, Abhijananti mam bhutha manushim tanum ashvityam parambhava majanato mamabhuta maheshra. The fools, they derive, am I descending in this human-like form? They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. So even Krishna displays wonderful activities, not only in his pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, but just looking at around in the universe. For instance, if a scientist could create a male Rolls Royce and a female Rolls Royce, and when they came together, they created little Rolls Royces. And if you fed them enough gasoline and oil, petroleum, then gradually they grow up and become big Rolls Royces. And everyone could have a Rolls Royce. But the scientists have not been able to figure out how to manufacture such a machine. But Krishna has manufactured such a machine in 8,400,000 species of life, male machines and female machines, and when they get together they make little machines and they grow up and become big machines again. If a scientist can make a airplane 747 and have a pilot there and fly it around, but if a scientist can make a machine the size of a mosquito and put a pilot in it and have it fly around and refill from person to person, that would be worthy of note by the scientists. So Krishna has not only created planets that fly around in the universe, it is said by the scientists at least that this Earth planet, because we don't necessarily agree with the scientists that the Earth planet is moving, but if we take the scientists as factual and say that the Earth planet is moving, who has made such a nice car and such a nice road that when you move in your car on the road, you don't feel any bumps? How many bumps have you felt in the last week in your travel around the universe? So this is certainly a very nice highway and a very nice car Krishna has created. And many other things we can perceive in the universe. For instance, we're eating food. As Krishna says, aham vaishnaro bhutva praninam deham ashitya pranapana samayukva pachamyanam chaturvida. I become the fire of digestion and I join with the air of life to digest the five kinds of foodstuffs. We're eating food, we're digesting the food, we're assimilating the food, we're eliminating the unnecessary parts of it, but we have no idea how this body is doing it. We can't claim that we're doing it because we have no idea how it's really working. If we did, then everyone's digestion would always be perfect. The scientists actually knew how digestion was going on. They'd simply have the right chemicals all the time. So if anything went wrong, we just add the right chemical and our digestion starts up again. But the scientists themselves, they get indigestion, but to speak of ourselves. They don't assimilate their food necessarily, nor do they always eliminate the unnecessary parts of it. So although they claim they're the all-knowing personalities within the universe, but they don't even know what's happening after they eat something. Therefore, it must be concluded that the topmost scientist is not Mr. Einstein or anyone like that. It's the scientist who's created this universe by which all these wonderful things are going on. So that's the supreme scientist. And Rama says, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vijami. But why do people deny Krishna? Because they're mudhas, they're naradamas, they're apritagyanas, amayapritagyanas, and they're asrambhavam ashityas. They're foolish, they're deceitful, they're atheistic, and they're foolish, deceitful, atheistic, and one more. The foolish are the mudras. The deceitful are the mayapritigyanas, and the atheistic are the ashambhavam ashityas. Envious, I guess you could say envious. The naradamas. So these personalities can never accept Krishna because it spoiled all their materialistic conceptions. They made a business out of living in the material world, trying to enjoy the senses, and claiming and relying upon their authorities to claim that there's nothing beyond that, and that if there's a God, they're the God. Don't accept any other God. Therefore, when there's some explanation given here that God lies down in he lies down an ocean on a snake, and from the pores of his body breathe out unlimited universes. And then he, each one of those universes he enters and fills half of it with his perspiration and lies down on another on a bed of snakes. And his wife in each one of the universes massages his feet while a lotus flower is born out of his navel. And in that lotus flower all the planets of each universe and the lotus stem, and Brahma sits on the top chanting to this person. So people will think we're intoxicated or crazy, or maybe a combination of both. But this is certainly a better explanation. At least we have an explanation. Not that everything came out of nothing and expanded itself unlimitedly. And that's reality. That from nothing everything came and everything evolved, and then from some kind of inorganic energy there came out of inconceivable, inexplicable methods came all the living entities, gradually evolved from the monkeys to the human beings, and were in a process of elevation to something higher. As Prabhupada said, if you examine that philosophy, that logic, that would mean that as everyone has a father and a mother, that would mean that our father and mother, they're undoubtedly persons. Very few people I know go to the zoo to visit their father and mother. Let's go to the zoo and visit the grandparents. Of course, that day is coming when people, some people should be put in the zoo. But that's not evolution. No, we know that our fathers and mothers were persons, and their fathers and mothers were persons. So where do we find in the history of our ancestry that one of our family members, or both of them, or two of them, were monkeys? That our great-great-great-grandmother was a monkey. No, it doesn't make very much sense that. And then if we trace out the monkey's ancestry, we find out eventually that one of their ancestors was a sheep. A black sheep. Which all our parents were, all our relatives were always talking about. The black sheep in the family. Now we've realized where the black sheep, who the black sheep was. And then we traced that ancestry of the sheep back. We found out, we find a mouse. Grandfather Squeaky. And tracing it back, we come to a rock. Who is the most solid member of our family. And as embarrassed as we are, we find out that our original ancestor was nothing. A good for nothing. So this is the so-called scientific explanation of reality, that everything came out of nothing and evolved to what we are now. Much more logical that there was a person behind it, and although that person's activities may be inconceivable to our activities, but still at least the explanation that's given concerns an all-powerful personality manifesting at least this universe by his will in a rather unique way. Krishna says, Sarva yona shikantiya morti eksambhavantiya Tasa Brahmanaha Ahambu Ahambuja. Sarva Yona Shikantiya Morti Eksambhavantiya Tasa Brahmanaha Yonir Ahambuja Prajapita. That it should be understood that I'm the source of all the living entities. Sarva Yona Shikantiya sarva yonish, in all living entities are put into the womb of material nature, and it should be understood that I am the seed-giving father. So to understand that there's a person, and he's the original father of the creation. And those who don't accept, Krishna says, as I said before, that these four classes of people don't accept. Krishna says before that, Pravitim cha, Nivritim cha, Jana Navidur Asura, Nisocham Napichachara, Nisatim Teshu Vidyate. These people have no good qualities. They have no idea what is the purpose of life, therefore what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found within them. So we can see that those who are against Krishna, they have no idea what real cleanliness is, either mentally or physically, nor can they be truthful. Truthful, especially in the sense that if it's nicely explained to them that there is a God, they refuse to accept it. As one Christian said, your philosophy is so tricky, it must be made, it's so perfect that only the devil could have made it. So even their presented logic, reasoning, consistent arguments, still they won't accept it because they vowed. They made a vow to stay in the material world and to enjoy a materialistic experience. Griha Vratana Adantago Bira Vishitam Dimizram Punat Punas Charvata Charvanana Hatevi Du Swarthi Tiyana Materna Krishna Parataksato Vamito Vipagyeta Griha Vratana Adantago Bira Vishitam Dimizram Punat Punas Charvata Charvanana. They're trying to solve their problems of life. They're having big meetings, the United Nations, League of Nations. They're having so many conferences trying to solve problems, so many organizations, NGOs all around the world. But if they're presented the solution, surrender to God, take up His instructions, that's the last thing that they want to do. They'd rather rot in hell, they would rather be the lords of hell, they'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's more or less their philosophy. So even though everything is presented, they rather stay in their limited conception of life because they think if they serve their senses, everything will be all right. Although it's never been all right, and it never will be all right, but they've made a vow, nothing's going to move us from the materialistic experience. Even if divine love and eternal bliss and knowledge await us in the spiritual world, we refuse to go there until we become God in this world. Good luck. So, we'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes?
May I please ask, Srila Prabhupada is saying in the purport that Garbhodakashaya Vishnu dwells in each every universe, and Shivadakashaya Vishnu, who is the Paratma of every material object. And may I ask, is it the difference between these two functions? Or
Garbhodakashaya Vishnu takes charge of lying down in the middle of the universe, and from his perspiration he gets the Garbhodak ocean. And then from his lotus, then he lies down on the bed, shesha, and from his lotus, navel, comes a lotus flower. So Paramatma doesn't do that. He lies down on the Shiradakashaya ocean and acts as a collective supercell in everyone's heart. And also in every atom of the universe. Anything else? Yes.
Some people are convinced that religion is the root of evil and hate in human society.
Yes, we're all hateful and evil here.
Can people understand that the eternal religion is loving devotional service to God, or can we see only?
Well, I mean, in modern education, there are so many theories put out who's the actual root cause of all the problems. But modern religion is not really much different from modern materialistic culture. They don't. Generally, they don't follow very many principles. Therefore, they don't necessarily, although theoretically they may understand that to avoid lust, anger, and greed is the part of the principles of religion, but very few people follow those principles. On the other hand, I don't think World War I or World War II was fought on religious principles, nor all the wars going on nowadays fought on religious principles. They're fought simply for economic development, for sense gratification. They're fought out of lust, anger, and greed. So this idea that religions controlling lust, anger, and greed have created all the problems in the universe, it doesn't seem to be exactly the way things within our experience. It's because people are lusty and angry and greedy and deluded that they exploit others, other living entities. You don't go to a slaughterhouse and find all kinds of pious people there praying as they're slaughtering the animals. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharashima Bhagavatam Kijaya.